the former capital of Russian America in the territory of Alaska, failed to mention in his inventory of Alaskan forest and trees the hemlock, which I think perhaps a mild dose right now to the members of the minority maybe have a salutary benefit to this proceeding. Thank you.
Representative Toohey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Toohey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I wonder if the gentleman from Sitka could discuss the budding furniture factory. I understand there's all kinds of furniture that they're now making from some of these wonderful trees.
I would remind everybody on your comments to keep your comments limited to the amendment in front of us. Representative Rusendorf.
Madam Speaker, I was asked a question, and at the same time there was a talk of hemlock. And I did mention what we call the western hemlock, which is the big commercial tree, as well as the mountain hemlock. I'm glad that the representative finally woke up for the larch in the mountain. Now we do have some native mountain ash, and there's seven varieties of those. But to the question from Representative Toohey here, there is an opportunity because of the fine timber that we have in this state, to do some furniture work and very fine finishing stuff. And many of the species that I mentioned can be used depending upon what you want. The birch can make very excellent furniture, as well as the red alder is also excellent for that, and maybe with diamond willow and a few others. But to answer the question, to short it up, you know, I'm kind of dragging it out. I realize that, you know. But yes, she's right. There is an opportunity.
Thank
there.
You, Representative Rusendorf. Further debate. Representative Davies, for a wrap up.
Madam Speaker, I'd be happy to wrap this conversation up. I would like to answer the question from my good friend who's sitting to my left here. We talked about there's actually two positions that could be described as a deputy director. There really, in fact, isn't a deputy director. There are two positions within the Division of Forestry who aren't the director. They're not called deputy director. And what we were describing earlier is that one of these positions has the responsibility to basically to take care of the firefighting. And since that's indicated as a relatively large and important operation, it's not likely that the Division of Forestry, if they're going to sustain this cut, are going to get rid of that position. So, Madam Speaker, that then implies that it's the other position that will likely go, and it's that other position that deals with the issues that we were talking about here, the Forest Practices Act enforcement in terms of the variation trees, the timber sales, and those kinds of things. So that's what we're talking about. With respect to the question from Representative Toohey, the Diamond Willow, or the representative from the district, whatever it is, 13, there are businesses in the Fairbanks area that use Diamond Willow for making walking sticks and other knickknacks that are sold to the tourists and other local people, and that's quite a thriving business. The Birch Bowl Company in Fairbanks markets through a catalog that's distributed quite widely. In fact, I'm told that they're on the TV, what's that, QVC, is it? I think it's one of the Alaskan products that's there. They have a very nice showroom, and you can go in there, and they've got a place where you can see where they actually use the lathes and cut the bowls, and it's quite a fascinating thing. If you get to Fairbanks, I recommend that on your tour. You ought to go by and see that. And lastly, with respect to furniture, there are a number of woods craftsmen in the Fairbanks area that do custom furniture and custom cabinets, especially the birch makes very beautiful cabinets. There are many homes in the Fairbanks area that have birch cabinets that are made from the local wood and made by local artisans. So it clearly is an important part of our economy, and that's why I'm concerned about this particular cut. Thank you.
Representative Foster?
You know, I don't, thank you, I don't mean to belabor this amendment, but this amendment, but you know, of the previous 56 amendments, I kind of like this one the best. Not only because of its relation to resource development, which I'm real near and dear to, but also it's linked to business, which is the top part of the amendment, the underground storage tank assistance. And you know, Madam Speaker, I remember one year some regulatory agency or another made me bury, I had a 1,000-gallon aviation fuel tank, and they made me bury it next to my hangar. And I'd never done it before, and I've never seen an underground tank before up in the Arctic, so I went and buried it, and lo and behold, over the winter after it froze and thawed probably a couple hundred times, by springtime, my tank was pushed up, and it kind of popped up out of the ground by itself, and it was above ground again. And I was real disappointed, so I just left it there. But, you know, trying to run a business on the one hand and then trying to satisfy resource development, it's kind of it leaves me in a bind here. I can't help but wonder. You know, I said on resources, I think it was 6 years ago with my good friend from Kenai when we developed the LUST legislation. I forgot what the initials stand for now. I know it was underground tanks. And we had a one heck of a time trying to develop that legislation. And I think, as I recall, later that summer, once it was enacted, it put many fuel stations, gas stations along the highway out of business because they couldn't comply with either the provisions or possibly the bonding and the insurance requirements that went along with the legislation. And so I can't help but think, would the amount of monies coming from the underground storage tank assistance, would that be more of a threat to business than possibly the beneficial aspects of what little money might go into this, into forestry? How would you link that together and help me decide how to vote?
Are you ready for the question, Representative Ogun?
I must disclose a conflict of interest because I am a woodworker and request that I not vote on this amendment. And also I'd like to comment on the fact that we have member from the beautiful town of that resides in southeastern here failed to mention the value of his forest products down there for boat building wood. It's some of the best boat building wood in the world. It's clear, straight grain. Yellow cedar is a fine material to build boats from, and I would hope that he would acknowledge that. Thank you.
Holding you will be required to vote. Are you ready for the question, Representative Cabina?
Madam Speaker, thank you. I think LUST is leaking underground storage tanks. And I think they make violins out of wood in Southeast, too. Or pianos, one of the two. I get them mixed up.
Are you ready for the question, Representative Brown?
Well, Madam Speaker, since the member from District 38 likes this amendment, maybe we can get one passed here. And so I'll move to divide this question between the funding source and the other portion.
Amendment is divisible. We'll take section one first. Oh, there is objection to the division. I'm sorry. On the motion to divide. Minority Leader?
What kind of wood is the woodshed made out of?
Any kind of wood. Question before us is the motion to divide. Members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member want to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 25 nays.
The motion to divide has failed. The amendment is before us. On amendment number 57.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Davies, you've had your wrap-up already.
I have a motion I'd like to make.
Your motion?
My motion would be to amend amendment number 57 by changing the fund source to GF.
There's objection. Motion, the amendment is before us. Members, please proceed to vote.
May I speak to the amendment, please?
It's pretty clear, Representative Davies, what the amendment is.
Madam Speaker, point of order. I believe Section 180 of the Agent Manual make these motions dilatory.
I don't believe so, Madam Speaker.
Representative Davies, you've explained your amendment already.
Right.
We are going to take the vote on the amendment to the amendment.
May we brief at ease?
Stand at ease. Sentence. Representative Davies.
I appreciate the latitude. What the sentence is, I think that it's appropriate to change this funding source to GF because I believe that this position will make money.
The amendment to the amendment is before us. Will members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please block the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 25 nays.
Amendment to the amendment has failed to pass. The amendment is before us. Representative Brown, you've already spoken on the amendment.
Yes, ma'am. If I could.
Representative Brown, you've already spoken. I am invoking Rule 101.
Okay.
102, whatever rule it is. Will the members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 24 nays.
So amendment number 57 has failed to pass the House. Would the clerk please read amendment number 58?
Amendment number 58 by Representative Finkelstein, beginning page 32, line 24.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this amendment would put $187,000 back into the DEC lab function. This is money that was taken out of the subcommittee process. And, Madam Speaker, I don't want to let anyone think that I'm being overly critical of the work that was done by the DEC subcommittee. I know myself and other members on there had many less amendments this year than in previous years. I thought it was a very good job. But, of course, there's always things we disagree on, and this is one of them. It didn't concern me as much during the subcommittee process, but since then I've come across more information that gives me greater concern. This DEC lab, Madam Speaker, is a critical function which very few people are actually aware of. One of the things that allows us to continue is to have primacy in drinking water regulation. This is critical. If we want to turn over our programs to EPA, we're going to be taking a major step backward. The lab is a required part of that, and it's critical that that lab function be allowed to continue. Madam Speaker, another important function of this lab, which will again be jeopardized without this amendment, is shellfish testing. The shellfish industry, as a member from Juneau previously noted, is a growing industry that's got tremendous potential for economic opportunity in our state. But, Madam Speaker, we just have to look around the country to see that all it takes is a few incidents of PSP death or other contamination to destroy that kind of industry. The reputation you get on the world market, the national market, after that kind of scare is the kind of thing that could put many of our small businesses make them completely non-functional. I don't think anyone would doubt that that's a critical program, and it's clearly in jeopardy without the funding involved here. Another part of it that's critical function of DEC lab that would be allowed to continue with this amendment is the environmental crimes testing. And Madam Speaker, this is a pretty exotic area to get into, so I will only briefly summarize it. The system they use is they try to fingerprint various organic compounds, generally oils, and the reason they do it is that a lot of times you get these I think they call them phantom spills or orphan spills, or basically it's an unidentified spill, but it's big enough that it's causing environmental hazards and there's some likely suspects. Well, Madam Speaker, technology has reached the point now where they can, with a reasonable sample of that and with use of the lab, they can go and actually figure out who the culprit is and either stop the loss, the leakage, which of course is the key goal, is to reduce further damage to the environment and correctly assess any costs involved in cleanup to the responsible party. And again, without this particular lab function, we wouldn't be able to do that. Madam Speaker, the another of the most critical functions is the way they deal with chemically contaminated sites. And remember, we've spent a lot of time today talking about the LESS program, what we're doing there. We're spending millions and millions of dollars on a reasonable program, but a program built around subsidizing companies' costs for cleanup. What we're doing here in the lab is something much less expensive, but I think something we could all agree is critical. We're saying someone who's got this kind of problem is allowed to come in, and the state will assist you and financially assist you in being able to do that test. That's the very first step before you can even get to cleanup, is to know what you face. What happens if we don't provide this service at no charge to our citizens and to businesses in our state is a lot of them don't do the tests. A lot of them aren't going to ever find out what's there. It's the first step that gets them into the loop and gets them into contact with the agency on how to best deal with the solution. Going and eliminating that function, which is a very high-priced function at a private lab, is enough to reduce the incentive to get some of these companies in, individuals in, who might otherwise be willing to do the testing. Madam Speaker, when I first looked at this, I had understood that there's two labs. There's one in Palmer, which does the organic testing, and one in Juneau, which does inorganic testing. And I had thought that there'd be a chance here to achieve the cost savings that were identified by the subcommittee by some sort of combination of the labs. Well, Madam Speaker, I think it was my own naivete that led me to that conclusion. From my discussions with people involved, it's be practically impossible for those labs to function as one lab. There's just this great difference in the way organic substances, inorganic substances are dealt with. Just for one example, if you were to go and do that, you'd have to have completely separate ventilation systems, which essentially doesn't occur in a single building site. Madam Speaker, I don't want to overstate this, because I do think there's a chance that they're going to be able to hang in there to some degree, but of those key functions I went through, I'm certain that some of those will disappear. And Madam Speaker, there's a slight chance that all of them will disappear. But regardless, this is the best place, I believe, to put in funding when we're trying to do what we can to solve some of these pollution problems. It's cost effective, and it generally operates in many of its function as assistance to businesses. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Representative Elton.
Hey, Madam Speaker, this is an issue that I tried to become familiar with over the last couple of weeks. I talked to a lot of different people, and I think the most compelling thing that I heard was from the private sector. And Madam Speaker, I've received some communications from some of the people, and I don't want to read them, but I'm going to try and summarize, I think, one of the most pertinent letters that came in on this issue. And it was from a geologist from a major local mine developer. And that geologist made three essential points. The first point being that the loss of the facility essentially means that the scientists and the technicians that are involved in DEC are going to disappear, and they're going to be replaced with contract managers. And this geologist made the point that he'd much rather deal with the science and the technology than with contract managers. The second point the geologist made is that although scientists often disagree, that it's much better to have the people in the public and the private sector that are trying to work through problems be scientists and be technicians. And the third and maybe the most compelling point that this geologist made is that if we lose this facility, or if we lose some of the capabilities in this, of this facility, it essentially means that EPA is going to be doing more of the testing. And when EPA does more of the testing, they're going to be more involved in policy planning. And we're much better off having the state involved in policy planning than the EPA. Madam Speaker, I think this person has probably been working with these problems and has probably identified the three major issues if we diminish the capabilities of this DEC lab.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Representative Robinson?
Yeah, Madam Speaker, first I need to state that I have a conflict and I probably shouldn't vote on this amendment.
There is objection. Representative Robinson, you will be required to vote.
Madam Speaker, then I guess the most compelling reason I can say that we need this in the budget, and that is, does anyone want to eat oysters and clams there in the middle of the summer that haven't been tested?
Are you ready for the question? The question before us is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 58? Would members please proceed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 58 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read amendment number 59?
Amendment number 59 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Move amendment number 59.
For his objection, Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, if the representative from District 38 liked my last amendment, he'll love this one. Madam Speaker, this amendment gets to some issues that relate to mining in the interior of Alaska, and it's appropriate that in, I'm not sure if it's today's or yesterday's paper at this point. I guess we're still in today's legislative session, but we're in tomorrow now, for calendar days, or however that works. But anyway, Thursday's paper, April 6th, there's a picture on the front about the beginning of the mining at Fort Knox. There's a lot of good news that relates to that particular mine.
Representative Davies, would you please keep your amendment confined to this amendment, not an article about any other mine in the paper today?
Okay. Madam Speaker, the reason why I thought that was relevant is because this division, the Division of Geology and Geophysical Surveys, is responsible for generating maps and doing surveys that support our mining industries. And we're in the budget that's before us, we have proposed to not fund the division director's position. And I heard earlier in the discussions tonight for the first time that the reason why we're suggesting this is because we might be interested in combining the Division of Mining with the Division of Geology and Geophysical Surveys. Madam Speaker, that's a proposition that I find very unacceptable, but that's another issue. What we're talking about here is whether or not we're going to fund the director in this division. Madam Speaker, in order to understand why this division director's position is important, it's important to understand some of the kinds of things that this division does, and I would like to point out, as just one example, the kinds of things they've been doing is they've been supporting the aeromagnetic program, the aeromagnetic surveys. This is called the Division of Geology and Geophysical Surveys. One of the geophysical surveys that they've been doing, in addition to doing the geological mapping, is aeromagnetic surveys. And Madam Speaker, I think it's fair to say that these aeromagnetic surveys have sparked a new gold rush in northern and interior Alaska. Probably the first pure geophysical gold discovery occurred a few months ago. It occurred as a result of one of these maps, as going from a mine that I mentioned earlier, but I won't mention again, taking the trends from that mine and extending them out. Some people from a mining company.
Representative Davies, you're wandering.
No, the point is, Madam Speaker, that this division is responsible for some very real economic development in our area, and I think that for us to not fund the director of this division, when most of the members, in fact, I think that the employees of this division are underfunded right now. They're only funded to 10 months' salary, and so if we wanted to keep the director's position empty for a while for some logistic reasons, I don't object to that, but I do believe that there's a need, a crying need in this division to fully fund those salaries. And by cutting this position, there's no opportunity to do that. I think that this division is very productive. This division is a group of people that are trying to do what we've said is diversify the economy to support mining operations. And I believe it's a very important tool in our arsenal to diversify the economy. So I think we should support it.
Further debate? Ready for the question? Representative Kabina?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. When I sat on the budget subcommittee on this department, they brought in, I thought it was the director whose position we're talking about, but maybe it wasn't the director, but they brought in and showed us these maps that they are doing now up there. I guess it's a very new technique where they fly over with a helicopter back and forth, and they are able to get some kind of sensor, actually, is able to show the lines of minerals or some kind of deposits that are under there. And they told us that just after releasing this map, that people came up from all over and they were staking out these claims. And I guess they really had, as he said, a real gold rush in that. Well, my point is, if this is a new way of mapping our areas and locating minerals, I would think that you would want to have someone in this department that knows what they're doing to guide it, and it's obviously going to be a real boom. I mean, if this is the first one that they've done, I would think that they would be asking to do these all over the state of Alaska. And so certainly you would want to have someone in that position knew what they were doing to direct that department. So I think this is probably a very good amendment, and If I'm wrong, maybe the subcommittee chair would let me know that I'm wrong.
Further debate? Representative Brown?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this director, I believe, is the state geologist, which is a position that's established in the statute. There aren't many division directors that actually are established in the statute, and I was wondering whether the failure to fund this division director sets up any problems with respect to statutory responsibilities that are assigned to this position or to the division itself.
Further debate? You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 59? Members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
13 yeas, 24 nays.
And so Amendment Number 59 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read Amendment Number 60?
Amendment Number 60 by Representative Nicolai to page 25, line 38.
Representative Nicolai?
Amendment Number 60?
There is objection. Representative Nicolai?
What this amendment would do is provide more money for the Rural Development Assistance Grants. These grants are provided to communities that have a population of less than 900. They're good for promoting development in rural Alaska by providing an economic base, also providing employment and income. And just to let you know, some of the examples of the requests that have come in for these projects, one was from Akachuk for a youth enterprise. Another request was from Anchor Point from the Kenai Peninsula Bureau for organic fertilizer production. I can imagine that it would probably be a good economic development project. In Kobe, Aleutians East Bureau, they're requesting funding for the installation of lights at the dock. And I know that they have a large fisheries out there, and so they're probably trying to expand their economic development projects up in that area. So I think that having more money put into these grants is good for rural Alaska. And I think that the reductions that were proposed in this budget are devastating to rural to these rural communities. And just to let you know that there was requests for FY95. The requests were for $10.9 million. And in February of 1995, the only awards that were made was $1.3 million. So it's quite a reduction. And I think that if we're going to expand economic development in rural communities, we're headed in the wrong direction by taking a step backwards again by reducing these grants to rural Alaska. So I would encourage you to vote yes on this amendment.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 60? Would members please proceed to vote? Ms. Representative Navarre? Sorry, would the House please stand at ease? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
13 yeas, 23 nays.
And so Amendment Number 60 has failed to pass the House. Would the clerk please read Amendment Number 61?
Amendment Number 61 by Representative Elton, beginning page 24, line 18.
Representative Elton?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment Number 61.
There is objection. Representative Elton?
Madam Speaker, I'll try to keep this short. The pot of money created by this amendment essentially gives the commissioner latitude to prioritize economic development projects and issues that are not shackled to the existing bureaucratic structure. It empowers creativity and entrepreneurship by the commissioner and his staff to nurture new initiatives and see some of the older initiatives through. Madam Speaker, it could probably best be defined as kind of a transition, transition pot of money that allows some flexibility to a new commissioner. And I think it's very, very important that we allow this kind of flexibility as the commissioner and his team put together their program for the next 4 years.
Further debate? You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 61? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
7 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 61 fails to pass the House. Will the clerk please read amendment 62?
Amendment number 62 by Representative Nicolai, page 25, line 38.
Representative Nicolai?
Madam Speaker, I would like to move amendment number 62.
There is objection. Representative Nicolai?
Okay, what this amendment would do is provide more money for mini-grants, which is also known as a rural development grant. These grants are similar to the RDA grants, and they are, again, available to populations of less than 900 people, and they do provide grants for innovative projects which contribute to economic development and tourism, small business manufacturing, and feasibility and engineering. During this year, there was a request for mini grants funding, which totaled over $1.6 million. And in FY95, $367,400 in grants were awarded to 18 communities. And I think that more communities can benefit by this program, you know, if we do pass this amendment, and that it is, again, an expansion of economic development in rural communities. And I think it's a great program, and it's great for putting more money into the small communities and getting the people to rely on themselves and what they can do with their small businesses. I would encourage you to vote yes on this amendment.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 62? Would members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 22 nays.
And so amendment number 62 has failed to pass the House. Would the clerk please read the next amendment on her desk?
Amendment number 63 by Representative Elton, page 24, line 28.
Representative Elton?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this amendment simply recognizes the job growth. I'm sorry, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 63. Madam Speaker, this amendment essentially tries to recognize that job growth and job potential is probably more realistic in the tourism sector than it is in the agricultural sector. It addresses the issue of budget value and not budget cost. The money that we put toward tourism growth, I think, it probably has much more value than the money that we're putting into a loan program that probably should be privatized. Madam Speaker, in the summer of 1993, I think it's important to recognize that the value of the visitor industry was about $1.4 billion. Madam Speaker, if we can make that industry grow to $2 billion a summer or two away from now, we're adding thousands of jobs in Alaska. I think it's important to note that a job or a growth in the industry of $600 million outstrips right now the existing value of the salmon industry. And the salmon industry is providing 20,000 jobs across the state. Madam Speaker, I guess what I'd like members to do on this vote is just recognize that we do have a lot of potential and shift some of the money from areas that don't show an awful lot of potential to those that do show a lot of potential for job growth.
Further debate, Representative Finkelstein.
Madam Speaker, for any member who doubts the necessity for this amendment, I just encourage you next time you're at a newsstand to pick up any of the travel magazines or other magazines that appeal to the traveling American public. We are competing in a world where, I hate to say it, but we're being drastically outspent by many, many, many other nations. The Australia ads are just phenomenal. The ads from some of the Caribbean nations are phenomenal, the Hawaiian ads, some of the other ads. In fact, Madam Speaker, if you want to compare our ads, I've seen ads that are basically in our ballpark that are for states like Kansas and Nebraska and Texas and Louisiana. They're about at the level we are. I mean, obviously, we've got more to sell than they do. We ought to be able to outgun those folks, but that's the world that we're competing at because that's the kind of funding we're putting into it. We're in a big lead, Madam Speaker, not only because of what we offer, but also because of what it costs to get to Alaska. We can't compete with some of the states like Texas knows. I don't know how many people have seen their ads with the people on the beaches and all the analogies to the great things they have in Texas. Well, Madam Speaker, they don't have to sell people very far because most people in the nation can get to Texas for a relatively low cost. Alaska has a reputation deserved and sometimes not deserved for much higher costs, and we tend to compete, we're told by travel experts, with some of the international destinations. And because of that, our promotion budget has to compete with them as well. And I just, you know, I haven't counted the ads and I haven't done any scientific survey, but I'd suggest anyone who picks up any of those materials would come to the same conclusion I have.
Further debate? Are you ready, Representative Navarre?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I was kind of inclined to vote against this amendment on first blush, just because with respect to tourism marketing and the amount of money that we put into tourism marketing and the return that we get to the state treasury from that investment, and basically there is not much return to the state treasury, certainly not equal to the amount that we pay out for marketing the state. However, because of the significant importance to local government economies, their tax revenue base, both sales tax, property taxes, things like that, and the reduction that we're seeing in other areas of the budget to municipal assistance and revenue sharing, I think that this certainly, funding for tourism marketing is certainly a higher priority than is agriculture, and as is pointed out before, we're growing a vital tourism industry, and certainly the return on our investment will be much greater in tourism than in agriculture. So I would urge members to vote with me in favor of this. I think that the arguments were persuasive, and I certainly have been convinced.
Ready for the question? Representative Cabina?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I actually would like to vote for this amendment, but the problem I have is that we're taking the money out of agriculture. And of course, I represent that great agriculture area of Delta, which just because it's losing its military base, we certainly don't want it to lose its total economic base. So I would like to amend this amendment to change the funds coming out of the Agriculture Department and have them come out of
Coal cars.
I have a plan, Scott.
Representative Cabina, would you move your amendment?
If I could move that amendment, please.
There is objection to the amendment on the amendment. The question is, shall the House?
Madam Speaker, I don't need to debate that amendment.
Don't. Shall the House adopt the amendment on the amendment changing the funding source from the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund to the Coal Car Fund? Members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
10 yeas, 26 nays.
And so the amendment to the amendment has failed. The amendment is before us. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 63? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Has any member failed to vote? Or would any member like to change their vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 25 nays.
And so amendment number 63 has failed to pass. Clerk, please read amendment number 64.
Amendment number 64 by Representative Bryce, beginning page 8, line 18.
Representative Bryce?
Yes, Madam Speaker, I would move amendment 64.
There is objection.
Basically, Madam Speaker, what I'm doing here is I'm removing Section 38, which for some reason refers to the, the three different settlement agreements that are floating out in limbo someplace. I just don't feel at this point in time that it's appropriate for the legislature to become as involved in the decision making of what is an appropriate agreement, what isn't. I believe that it's not our job so much to debate the worthiness of agreements. If that is the case, I think then we need to relook at review our statutes and maybe revisit there. But until that's done, I believe that it's inappropriate for us to become involved in becoming part of the bargaining process as far as what I think these sections imply. So appreciate your support.
Ready for Representative Covino?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Actually, I don't understand the ramifications of this. And what I might ask is the finance chair, if he would explain, what would the consequences be of taking these three agreements out?
Before we do that, we need to examine the question, too, that we voted on three separate amendments earlier on this very issue. And I need to clarify those three separate amendments. Would the House please stand at ease? Here's the debate. Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The effect, no language in the budget, and according to the attorneys and legal services in a previous court case, by saying nothing, if the budget passes and we take no further action, then the contracts are approved, but there is no specific money appropriated for those contracts. Therefore, the contracts would have to be eaten within the departments under which they're funded. So, by removing this particular language, if no other action is taken on our part, then the contracts will be approved, the people will get whatever increases were negotiated, and the departments would have essentially an unallocated reduction in those departments where the money was where those contracts were negotiated.
Further debate? Representative Cabina?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. If I could just carry it one step farther, then if this was debated and discussed with the departments, and would they recommend doing this, or did the administration actually recommend not doing this?
Representative Hanley?
The official position is they support the contracts and the funding of the contracts. They did not take it, so that's their official position, and I believe they have to do that by statute as well. Good faith, so that they have not, to my knowledge, taken any other position.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you to the member from Finance who explained that. The bottom line is, and I think it's clear, that through this action and without the adoption of this amendment, the contracts are now disapproved by the legislature.
Further debate? The body stand at ease while we wait for the other members to come in.
Clarify that last statement, that until the legislation with this language in it actually passes both bodies, the contracts are not approved or disapproved. So until we either pass an appropriation bill with money in it or we pass this bill with the language, just because it goes out of this particular body does not automatically disapprove those contracts. And in fact, we do have, as was mentioned earlier, have three pieces of legislation that are appropriation bills that, if they pass this body, would be funded through fiscal notes and added in the conference committee.
Representative Navarro.
Madam Speaker, I don't have the statute book in front of me, but as I recall, there's a provision in the statute that requires that we notify the parties, if we're not, by concurrent resolution of both bodies, if we're not going to approve the contract so that they can go back and start negotiating again, or if we're going to approve the contract. And I don't recall having seen anything, and I think the timeline has passed for that. I also think one of the consequences of not passing this, or one of the consequences of leaving this language in the bill, is that those workers would not go to the 40-hour work week. And as we've discussed this over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of concern in the public, and certainly the people in my district, that we go to the 40-hour work week for public employees. So I will be voting to take this out of the bill.
Representative Hanley?
We'll talk while we're waiting. The previous speaker suggested correctly that there is a statute that requires a resolution be passed either approving or disapproving these contracts within 60 days of the time that they are submitted to the legislature. That time has since passed. However, our legal services folks have told us that even if we pass a resolution turning down the contracts, that still does not turn down the contracts. If we pass a budget bill with no language in it similar to this, the contracts do become approved because there is an appropriation potentially that funds those contracts. And so short of specifically having language in a bill, in this appropriation bill that says they are not approved in this particular bill, the contracts would still get approved even if we had passed a resolution disapproving those within that time frame.
Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate that explanation, but I'm sure I'm not the only member on this floor who didn't understand it because of the late hour. Just in brief, and I hope the member will correct me if I'm wrong here, as he did previously, without further action of the legislature, because not only can we not predict what further action may occur, but it's not even appropriate to discuss in the context of this bill, without any further action, I assume the action we're taking here, that money appropriated for the personal services may not be used to implement the negotiated monetary terms of that agreement, that essentially, in effect, we are turning down the contract. We are not allowing the contract to be implemented. Is that correct?
Representative Bryce?
As they say, I ain't know nothing, you know. As you had about four or five different negatives in there, and trying to get them all added up to figure out if it came out positive or negative. Taking the language out means that if this bill moves forward, and no other piece of legislation, if there were ever another piece of legislation out there, and that legislation never moved, it would mean the contracts are approved.
Further debate? Representative Elton? House, please stand at ease. Representative Elton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm just wondering if we take this language out and that means the contracts are approved, I'd like to have somebody explain to me what the funding source for those contracts would be.
Representative Hanley.
Earlier, when we first started this, essentially the money in the budget right here is that funding source, so that the contracts would be approved, and for instance, in a particular division, if there were people that got the pay raise, they would have to be paid that pay raise, and it would essentially mean that much less money for that whole division. They may have to lay off some people, whatever, but it would have to be eaten within the division.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall...
Madam Speaker, I'm afraid that I will have to call the House. The call has been lifted several times at the convenience of the majority and not to the minority, so I'll have to place a call.
Call is placed. Is the call satisfied? The call is satisfied. Representative Navarre?
Madam Speaker, I have a question. Now, presumably, this section would be subject to a veto by the governor, and if that happens, then what we're doing is not funding the contracts, which he's negotiated. I mean, is it, if the governor doesn't veto this, is he subject then to fair labor practices complaint because they negotiated the contracts, and now if he doesn't veto it, they can't go forward with their contracts? I guess I'm wondering, it seems to me like we're getting into a legal quagmire, and if we have any attorney on the floor, perhaps they could explain the interrelationships. Actually, I do think we're getting into potentially a legal quagmire with respect to this, and one of the concerns I have with not providing funding in this bill for the contracts that have been negotiated in good faith, I think, and driven by recommendation, in fact, driven by the request of the legislature to see a 40-hour work week with public employees in certain cases. So I think that we ought to fund it. I also think that the consequences of not funding it and having the governor veto this, unallocated reductions within these particular departments that would be impacted are just not acceptable. They're not acceptable to me and ought not to be acceptable to any of us, and we'll be facing a supplemental or special sessions if that is the case. So I don't think that the bill addresses this issue adequately with the language in it, and if we take the language out and we don't fund it, then we create an unallocated reduction problem, which is going to mean we're going to be back here in special session, and we're going to need that money that we put in the budget for special session.
For the debate, are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 64? Members, please proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 nays, 24 nays.
And so Amendment Number 64 has failed to pass the House. Would the body please stand at ease for about 3 minutes? Would the clerk please read the next amendment on her desk?
Amendment Number 65 by Representative Davies, beginning page 24, line 18.
Representative Davies, will you please return to the chambers for your amendment? We'll stand at ease. Representative Davies, would you move your amendment, please?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move Amendment Number 65.
There is objection. Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, I won't spend much time on this one because we've talked about this is the Division of Parks again and the same basic issues, except that this time we're talking about the Division Director's Office. The impact that is indicated by the department is that if we don't fund this, that their choice will be to close more park units. This is in the amount of about $100,000. The previous discussion we had was about $150,000, and you notice that the list totals conveniently $250,000 if all these parks were closed. So, Madam Speaker, with that, I'll just say that I'll just refer the members to my previous comments about the value of this effort that the Parks Division of Parks has been making, and my comment that I thought that this was rewarding their very successful effort by cutting their budget. Thank you.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 65? Would all members please proceed to vote? Would the House stand at ease, and would the clerk please proceed to vote? The clerk please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 22 nays.
And so Amendment 65 has failed to pass the House. Would the clerk read Amendment 66?
Amendment Number 66 by Representative Willis, beginning page 37, line 22.
Representative Willis?
Madam Speaker, I would move amendment number 66 in the intent language.
There is objection. Representative Willis.
Madam Speaker, this amendment restores funding for the Eagle River Public Health Office. This office was deleted in 1993. Many constituents have requested reinstatement of this service. In 1992, the office handled over 4,000 visits. The functions provided by this office include general health clinics, child health clinics, immunizations, TB screening, and the WIC screening. People now have to travel to Anchorage for these services. This relatively Spartan office or clinic offers vital services to lower income and elderly residents of our community, many of whom do not have transportation. The Eagle River office handled well over 4,000 visits in 1992. I would urge favorable consideration of this amendment. Thank you very much.
Further debate? You're ready for the question? The question being, Representative
Can Kadeem? I have a 5-second at ease?
Stand at ease. Here's a call on the House. You're ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 66? Would members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please void the roll. You guys, it's okay to point, but not to talk. Or move around. Would all members please proceed to vote? The clerk please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 66 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 67 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 67.
There is objection. Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, this modest amendment would just restore the University of Alaska to its FY95 levels.
Debate? Ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 67? Would all members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 24 nays.
So amendment number 67 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read amendment number 68?
Amendment number 68 by Representative Davies, beginning page 24, line 18.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 68.
There is objection. Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, what this amendment would do is take it as a decrement, the $75,000 grant to Northern Forum, and add $75,000 to add one auditor to monitor oil and gas royalty and tax settlements and contracts. Madam Speaker, we appear to be well on our way to passing a certain piece of legislation that's going to require the commissioner to consider reducing royalties, and there are a number of other ongoing issues where we settle royalty cases. And, Madam Speaker, I'm afraid that we're in a position where we're the number of auditors we have is not sufficient to adequately carry out our fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the settlements are fair and adequate. So I'm suggesting that we need to put this position back in for that purpose.
Further debate? Representative Brown?
What department, Madam Speaker, is this auditor being added in?
Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, I'm hoping to add this into the legislature, into the LB&A committee.
Further debate? You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 68? Would all members please proceed to vote? The clerk please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment number 68 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read amendment 69?
Amendment number 69 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 69.
There is objection. Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, amendment number 69 would add $300,000 to the University of Alaska statewide for distance delivery and University of Alaska Cooperative Learning Program. I think it's important, as you know, that as we're going to be more efficient in delivering courses in the university, that we continue to encourage the process of using our faculty around the state as efficiently as possible. So I believe this amendment works in that direction. Thank you.
Further debate? You ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 69? Will all members please proceed to vote? The clerk please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment 69 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read amendment 70?
Amendment number 70 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 70.
There is objection. Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This increment would add $300,000 to the Fairbanks campus to fund the virus-free seed potato project. Madam Speaker, I'm aware that in another portion of the budget there's $100,000, but the amount needed to successfully operate this program is $400,000, so I'm trying to complete that appropriation.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 70? Will members please proceed to vote? The clerk please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
11 yeas, 23 nays.
And so amendment 70 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read amendment 71?
Amendment number 71 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 71.
There is objection. Representative Toohey? There is a call on the House. Representative Davies, will we continue?
Madam Speaker, this amendment would add $111,300 to the Juneau campus for full-time history and philosophy faculty. This is one of the highest priorities identified by the Board of Regents for the Juneau campus. This would allow them to move away from part-time faculty and to having full-time faculty deliver their core curriculum.
Further debate? I'll stand at ease. House, come back to order. Question before us is, shall the House adopt amendment number 71? Will all members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 24 nays.
And so amendment 71 fails to pass the House. Would the clerk please read amendment 72?
Amendment number 72 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
I withdraw this amendment.
72 is withdrawn. The clerk, please read 73.
Amendment number 73 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Withdraw.
Withdraw. Amendment number 74.
Amendment number 74 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Withdraw.
Withdrawn. Amendment number 75.
Amendment number 75 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move amendment number 75.
There is objection. Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, this increment would add a little over $1 million to the Anchorage campus for full-time instructional faculty. One of the principal criticisms of the Anchorage campus in terms of accreditation is the over-reliance on part-time faculty. This would help the Anchorage campus. I think 2 years ago we appropriated about $1.5 million to try to augment the full-time faculty there. This would be another step in that same direction. Madam Speaker, with the part-time faculty are, you know, deliver the courses reasonably well, but one of the problems is that you don't have the continuity in terms of curriculum development and in terms of counseling students. So this would just move the Anchorage campus into a more of a full-time, four-year college kind of circumstance. Thank you.
Further debate? You're ready for the question. The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 75? Would the members please proceed to vote? The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 25 nays.
And so amendment number 75 fails to pass the House. The clerk, please read amendment. Representative Kelly? Brief at ease. The clerk, please read amendment number 76.
Amendment number 76 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Withdrawn.
Amendment number 77?
Amendment number 77 by Representative Brown, beginning page 1, line 4, after fund.
Representative Brown?
Thank you. I move number 77.
There is objection. Representative Brown?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment would repeal an appropriation made in 1990. It's $9 million, and with the interest, it's another $3 million for the Wishbone Hill Idemitsu coal cars. That project has folded and is not happening any longer, and we could reappropriate this money to the general fund and have additional funds to put to all these other important services that we've been discussing.
Further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 77? Would members please proceed to vote? The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
10 yeas, 27 nays.
And so Amendment 77 has failed to pass the House. Would the clerk read Amendment 78?
Amendment number 78 by Representative Brown, beginning page 1, line 4, after fund.
Representative Brown?
I'll move number 78.
There is objection. Representative Brown?
Madam Speaker, this would repeal an appropriation that we made in 1993 for the Sutton to Glen Allen intertie. It's a 50-year, no-interest loan. And, Madam Speaker, there's been a number of issues raised about this. I realize there is very high retail electric rates in the area that this is to serve. And people there, I know many of them believe that this is going to be a good project, but Madam Speaker, I really believe that this project is going to be more of a burden to this community than it is a benefit over time, and that there are other ways that would be much more effective to address this issue of high electric rates in this area, such as putting those communities under the PCE program. I'll just stop there. I know the hour is very late. There's probably a lot that could be said about this, but given the financial situation that we're in, I believe we'd be benefiting the state not to proceed with this project.
Further debate? Representative Vogan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think this is possibly worthy of consideration. However, it's too big of a task to tackle with an amendment and deserves a full hearing process if it's going to be done. Thank you.
Further debate? Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I generally agree with the remarks of the previous speaker, and I did have extensive remarks I want to make on this, but I will abbreviate it down to one point because of the late hour. The key to what occurred, in case any member forgets, is that this was appropriated with a contingent consideration, which was that the department had to determine that, I think the words were, cost effective. The department went through that process. The conclusion was reached that it could be cost effective if PetroStar had a huge increase in the demand for energy. And as we all, most of us know, subsequently, not only is there not going to be a huge demand, not only is there not going to be any demand, not only are they not going to hold steady, not only are they not going to go to zero, they actually want to sell electricity themselves. So it's the complete reverse of that. And Madam Speaker, this will work out in the end because the people in the affected areas, they don't really care about the intertie. They only care about one thing. They want lower power costs. And Madam Speaker, there are a variety of ways to deliver lower power costs. This was just one of them, and it didn't work out. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? You ready for the question? The question B is, shall the House adopt amendment number 78? Would members please proceed to vote? Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
7 yeas, 30 nays.
And so amendment 78 fails to pass the House. The clerk please read amendment 79.
Amendment number 79 by Representative Finkelstein, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Finkelstein.
Madam Speaker, I believe that it's the member from Fairbanks' amendment.
Oh, excuse me, Davies and Finkelstein.
Representative Davies. 79 is withdrawn. Would the clerk read number 80?
Amendment number 80 by Representative Davies, beginning page 33, line 4.
Representative Davies?
Withdrawn.
Withdrawn. 81. Mr. Minority Leader?
We'd have a break for these while we're having some more amendments duplicated.
Madam Clerk?
Amendment number 81 by Representative Kavina, beginning page 9, following line 22.
Representative Kavina?
I'll defer to my good friend from Palmer if he'd like to introduce it or not.
Withdrawn then? 81 is withdrawn. 82?
Amendment number 82 by Representative Finkelstein, beginning page 25, line 38.
Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move the amendment.
There is objection.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have already covered this in previous debate. The difference here is that this is just for the one position necessary to make sure that the Human Services Attorney remains. Remember, this is the one that deals with juvenile delinquency cases and child in need of aid cases. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? Representative Brown?
This is really needed.
Further debate? Representative Cornell?
This is already covered. Thank you.
Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, recall that the attorneys right now have a caseload of over 200 cases, and that this was the area in the department's budget that had the highest priority for adding. In fact, they had proposed to add two attorneys to cover the increased caseload. I think the situation is not covered presently, that these attorneys will be, that there will not be enough attorneys in this division to handle the caseload adequately, and that we will see foster care costs increase, and that we'll see child care situations prolonged.
Further debate? Ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt amendment number 82? Members, please proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
12 yeas, 25 nays.
And so amendment number 82 fails to pass the House. I am going to rule amendment number 1007 out of order. Does the clerk have further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move that we rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number 1.
Motion to rescind is before us.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Navarre.
Madam Speaker, amendment number 1 deals with child support enforcement. For those of you who don't remember the debate, since it took place so long ago, this money would be used to match over $90,000 that would be used to match over $600,000 in federal funds we used for child support enforcement in our effort to reduce the cost of our public assistance system, our welfare system. One of the things that we can do is make sure that the people who are and should be responsible for the care and costs of the children are required to pay for that care. So I would say this is a amendment to help us enforce responsibility.
Motion to before us, the motion to rescind our previous action on amendment number 1. Members, please proceed to vote. The clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
13 yeas, 24 nays.
And so the motion to rescind has failed to pass. Representative Cabina?
Brief at ease, Madam Speaker.
Stand at ease. Representative. Stand at ease. Does the clerk have any further amendments on her desk?
No, Madam Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 100 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed for final passage.
There is objection. The bill will be held for the next day's calendar in third reading. Representative Navarre?
Speaker, I move that we rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number 2.
Rescinding motion is in front of us. Is there objection? No, I answered the motion on his.
There is a motion on the floor. Madam Speaker, if the bill fails advancement, then the bill is still before us in second reading. We can vote on the motion to advance if you like.
Okay, we are still under second reading. We have another rescinding motion in front of us. Motion in front of us is to rescind our action on failing to adopt amendment number 2.
Madam Speaker.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The amendment number 2, which we failed to adopt, would simply make a higher priority of the Medicaid services funding and would take the use as a funding source underground storage tank funding and session expenses from the legislature. And I think that clearly services to the public are a much higher priority than either of those two programs, and would urge members to vote in favor of rescinding so that we can adopt the amendment.
Motion before us is a motion to rescind our action. Will members please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
12 yeas, 23 nays.
And so the motion to rescind has failed to pass the House. Would the House please stand at ease? Representative Navar?
Not seeking the floor, Madam Speaker.
Okay. Mr. Majority Leader? Stand at ease for a moment. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. Do we have unfinished business?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following dates. Representative McLean from 6:55 p.m. Tuesday, April 11th until 8:54 p.m. Plain Time Monday, April 17th. Representative Betty Davis from 6:30 p.m. Thursday, April 13th until 8:48 p.m. Plain Time Monday, April 17th. Representative Mulder from 7 o'clock a.m. Thursday, April 13th until 1 o'clock p.m. Plain Time Tuesday, April 18th. Representative Finkelstein from 2 o'clock p.m. Friday, April 13th until Plain Time Tuesday, April 18th. Representative Elton and Representative Hanley from 3:15 p.m. Thursday, April 13th until 10 o'clock p.m. Plain Time Monday, April 17th. Representative Grusendorf from 10 o'clock a.m. Thursday, April 13th until 6:30 p.m. Plain Time Tuesday, April 18th. Representative Bryce from 6:35 p.m. Wednesday, April 12th until 8:54 p.m. Plain Time Monday, April 17th. And Madam Speaker, Representative Bundy, who was previously excused from 6 a.m. Friday, requested his departure or his excuse be amended to read 2 p.m. Friday, April the 7th. And Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Coring, who was previously excused from the call of the House, be allowed to withdraw his absence request, and the Representative Terrio, who was previously excused from the call of the House from Friday, April 7th until Monday, April the 10th, would be allowed to withdraw his excuse. Thank you.
Without objection, those members will be excused. Is there further unfinished business? Representative,
at ease, please.
Stand at ease. Is there further unfinished business? Do we have committee announcements? Do we have any other announcements? Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd ask all the members, if they would, to hold on to their packet for the next legislative day's calendar.
Any other announcements? Any special orders? Brief at ease, Mr. Majority Leader. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 1 o'clock p.m. Friday, April the 7th.
We are adjourned until 1 p.m.